This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino.
Hola, it's Maria Hinojosa of Latino USA, and today we want to talk about Chile. The country in South America has been going through some pretty big political changes recently. In December, Gabriel Boric, who is only 35 years old and a former leader of Chile's student movement, was elected president, making him the country's youngest president ever. The Associated Press declared Boric a leftist millennial. But the impacts of his historic election go well beyond that. After 2 years of protests and social upheaval, Chile is now in the process of drafting a new constitution. It will replace the one established during the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. 155 representatives are in charge of drafting Chile's new founding document, and they look quite different than anything else the world has seen before. There is an equal number of men and women in the group, as well as 17 representatives of indigenous nations. Recently, our Futuro Media podcast, Latino Rebels Radio, discussed the recent presidential election in Chile and what Boric's victory means to the country and to the Americas. So we wanted to share this conversation with our Latino USA listeners as well. Host Julio Ricardo Varela welcomes Chilean historian and journalist Camila Vergara to the show. So listen and enjoy.
Latino Rebels Radio, Latino Rebels Radio, Julio Ricardo Varela here. So listen, some big news happened out of Chile right before Christmas. And, you know, we closed the office because of the holidays. And then Omicron happened. And I still wanted to talk about this historic moment in Chile. And still, it's within a month. So we're good. It's still within a window frame. And so this is what we're going to talk about it. So I have this fabulous guest from London who has already been on the show last year to talk about Chile. And we're just going to bring our fabulous guest from London on right now. So fabulous guest from London, welcome back to Latino Rebels Radio. Can you say who you are and what you do?
Hi, Julio. Yes, my name is Camila Vergara. I'm a journalist, historian, and a political scientist, political theorist, working on plebeian rights and philosophy in the University of Cambridge, writing a book actually on it.
Man, you're just, yeah, I love it. University of Cambridge, very, very, very British, very UK. So listen, for those, you know, there are probably some people who are listening to this that probably don't know what happened on December 19th in Chile. I mean, around December 19th, sorry. I don't think that was the exact date, but it was the Sunday around then. Tell us just in a nutshell what has happened in Chile in the previous month.
Yes, Julio, you were correct. December 19th was the election.
Oh, good. Dang, that, you see, I just wanted to make sure. As a journalist, I'm like, yes. Because sometimes we report a story and I'm like, oh, wait, did we report that the next day? So let me just make sure. So thank you.
Yes, yes.
All right, so I was right. All right, I was correct. So continue.
I think to understand what happened that day, we need to understand what happened before, because basically this was a two-round presidential election. So as we know, also in the US, you know, the first round also is very definitive in a way. We need to know who the candidates are, who is going to make it to the second round. Here in America, it's not so much because we have a two-party system. In Chile, there were several candidates. And one of the candidates was a neo-fascist, but very open, Pinochet apologist, José Antonio Kast, was this guy.
They're still out there. Pinochet apologists are still there. They're probably in their prime. This is exactly. So his name was José Antonio Kast, right?
Yes, José Antonio Kast. So he is, you know, the son of a Nazi soldier that came to Chile with fake Red Cross papers, okay? And he immigrated to Chile, did some business. One of his sons, Miguel Kast, worked for the dictatorship, and he was like the central banker and the minister of labor and, you know, a very important figure in the dictatorship. And this guy, José Antonio, is the brother of Miguel, and he is a lawyer, and he has been forever in a party that is called UDI, the Unidad Demócrata Independiente, Independent Unity for Democracy, and has nothing for democracy, because basically it was created in 1983, this party, in the middle of the dictatorship, as a vehicle for the kind of Pinochet ideas to move into democracy. So this guy was a deputy in a lower chamber of this party for like many years. And then in 2016, he exited this party because he was upset that the right wingers have become too liberal.
Oh,
and
my God.
He
okay.
A new party, wait, a new party that he named Partido Republicano, the Republican Party.
Okay.
He founded this party in 2019, but interestingly, only after he met with this Alliance for a Conservative Thought inaugurated by Alan Sears in the US, which is basically the Global Alliance in Defense of Freedom that brings together all the conservative ideology that goes against gender, what they call gender ideology, the idea that there exists gay people out there, basically, they're upset. So there's an alliance between the far right and the evangelical community, which the both of them want basically to preserve the traditional family. So this new party, he was the presidential candidate of that party, a party that had basically the photo of Pinochet everywhere. You know, this is like they can't do it. So it's very obvious in a way. So this guy was proposing things that were openly fascist, for example, to create an alliance, international alliance, to persecute the radicals, the left-wing radicals that have been at the center of this popular uprising in Chile. Because the thesis of the far right was that this was a conspiracy from international sources, basically.
Okay. Gotcha. No?
And therefore, this kind of candidate got the first majority in that first round.
So in the first, with the seven parties, José Antonio Kast led all, was the top vote getter. How much percentage did he get in the first round?
He got a 26%.
Okay, so like a quarter of the country,
yes.
Give or take. Okay.
And he basically thought this was a win and that basically they were going to take over. And it was true if you did the math. The other guy, and we're going to talk about the other guy because the other guy is going to be president, not this.
Yeah, the guy who won. we need to talk about the guy who won in a second.
He was second place. And if you did the math, basically Kast would win in the second round by like 100,000 votes. Like if the turnout was the same, he would lose the election. So basically he needed to go and look for all the people that didn't vote, who were 53% of the electorate. So imagine 53% of the people didn't vote in this.
All right. So then basically we get to the runoff, and who is the eventual winner? Let's mention his name because he is the president. He will be the next president of Chile. And let's talk about him. Although the José Antonio Kast thing is a movie. That's a Netflix movie. Like someone needs to do that. But tell me about the winner and also the strategy of that winner.
Yes. So Gabriel Boric, he won with a 56% of the vote in the second round. Yeah. And basically what happened, this guy is very young. He's the youngest, is in his 30s, the youngest president ever in Chile. And he came out of the student movements that began in 2011 around the education in Chile. Education in Chile, very similar to the U.S., is completely privatized and is very expensive. So people got into debt in order to get their kids to college, and now everybody's in debt. And they were pushing for making a free college, so very kind of Bernie Sanders before Bernie was in kind of in this idea, and then to eliminate debt. Because we also have a debt that is like sponsored by the state, but it's a heavy debt. So this was the movement. And he came out of that. He became a representative in the lower house, still is. And basically, he leads the Frente Amplio, which is this kind of new left coalition that has is kind of center left. And also now is in coalition with the Communist Party in a grand alliance called Apruebo Dignidad. Apruebo, because it was the approval of the inaugural constituent plebiscite. So the plebiscite that we had in 2020 when Chile decided, the Chileans decided to go forward with a new constitution. So the apruebo, the approval of that became kind of a coalition in itself. So basically it has that name, and Dignidad is dignity, because that was the banner of the movement. So that he is the leader of that coalition.
Okay. You're breaking it down. Yes. But talk to me a little bit before we talk about the prospects and all these coalitions, because now it's, because it is not, I think one of the biggest misperceptions that I want to talk to you is about sort of where does the left stand in the context of Chile and also in the context of Latin America right now. But that's a separate question, because I do want to know a little bit more about Boric. Like, tell me more about him and tell me what he's done since he has won, because it was pretty historic. This is a big deal. Like, this 30-something student movement protester is the president of Chile and the left. And then given understanding the context of leftist politics in Chile, talk to me about all that first.
Yes, but you know what? As you speak of it, and I have read it in the news elsewhere, it sounds more radical than it is.
Right.
Because what happened is that Gabriel Boric has already been around, you know, 10 years in politics. 10 years is a long time to be in politics in a way. It wears you down. His rebellious nature was quickly become more responsible, quote unquote. And he more like a dealer. So he has now a reputation of being a guy that negotiates and makes pacts. And here, this is a very important piece of information. You remember that we spoke about the how the plebiscite came about as an agreement between a government that was very, you know, in the corner with no support, and that called basically all the political party leaders to create an exit pact, basically, to see how this is going to end, this constituent process. And they impose a series of rules. The more important one is that basically the two-thirds supermajority that every article of the constitution must have. And that gives by basically a veto power to the status quo forces, basically, that the that reproduce the system, right? So the guy that actually did that was Gabriel Boric. So everything started, and we know that after, because one of the guy deputies from the right actually spilled the beans in one of the TV shows, saying that this pact began in a bathroom, in a men's bathroom, between a senator from the ultra-right party, this UDI party, and Gabriel Boric, that they met in the men's room in between negotiations, and then they pacted, and he agreed at the
two. Okay, so let's stop for a second, because I think this is a point that is clearly getting missed, I think, in Latino communities in the United States when they start thinking about the context of Latin America and Chile. So you're saying basically that would he be someone like Andrés López Obrador, who's kind of sort of gotten more political and more seasoned and might not, you know, might have started as a leftist on all the way on the extreme, but now is a little bit more political? Is Boric going down that path, or is he still kind of true to the cause, I guess, is my first question.
No. Yes. So he will become a López Obrador, I would say, in power, because one thing is to see people outside of power and the other is with power. And I think, at least my appreciation of who Boric is, he's very egocentric. He's like, he was a very kind of like leader-like in this manner that they believe that they are, you know, has special features, basically, and they need to rule, kind of thing. He's born to do this in a way. So I think he's going to go that path.
This is fascinating. Can I just, I know you're going to say, I want you to continue, but this is fascinating because I think it brings up the issue of the Latin American president as sort of egocentric, individual, I think of, you know, I think of Nayib Bukele when you mention things like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, please say more of this because this is fascinating. I am in. I am so in with this conversation, Camila. Continue.
And the thing is, if you, the press, especially the right-wing press, The Economist, The Financial Times, you know, all these, you know, newspapers, they frame this, you know, second round between this caste guy who is a Pinochet lover, basically, and Boric, who is very kind of center-left, like very a social democrat in a way, but very within the bounds. He wants to be responsible. He talks about responsible transformations all the time. So it's like he's not going to go and push the boundaries. He's not going to do that. He's just going to go within the margins and negotiate with the right wingers. This is kind of like how I perceive it. And the press has kind of misconstrued this between fascism and communism in a way. Like he is like this radical.
So this is so interesting because obviously when news came out in the United States, you know, a lot of conservatives, Latino and Latina conservatives, you know, in the Miami area and other places, Latin Americans that I know, were like, oh, here comes Chilezuela. You know, that this notion of this combination of Chile becoming Venezuela and this whole, like, exactly what you're saying, it's either fascism or communism. There's nothing in between. But you're saying that Boric is, that's not your take on him.
No, he's very, he wants stability. So I analyzed, I basically, I went into the speech he gave in that first, you know, round when he lost the first majority. And he talked about harmony, social peace, social cohesion, building bridges with, you know, the opponents. Things that, you know, Obama would say, you know, that the idea of bipartisanship. And I think I read it as, you know, an Obama-like person. That he comes like with the youth and with the touch and now everything and the campaign in between. This is very interesting because the campaign in between. So how did he get 56% of the vote? Because he was, you know, doomed to fail in a way. He got more than 1 million new votes out. And how did he get it? Doing a double strategy. So the strategy he did like formal, like the, you know, the advertisement in TV, his own speeches, what he said and his supporters were saying on TV was very kind of looking forward and very kind of like the hope we were going to make things better and looking more like the hope campaign of Obama. However, in the informal realm, in the social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere, the chats on WhatsApp, it was all about this is the only alternative against fascism. If Cass is elected, we're doomed. The people that are, you know, sexual dissidents or a political dissidents, they're going to be persecuted. So the fear.
It brought back the dictatorship. It brought back, you know, return to Pinochet. So it kind of maybe, in your opinion, convinced people that remembered that time to be like, I'm not going back to that, right? That could have, he could have picked up votes that way as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it was not real.
Ah, how was it not real? Like,
he, in a way, in the formal, he was just a regular candidate, basically, going for kind of like responsible transformations, talking center right. He was talking to the center right, okay? And then in the social media, he was talking to the popular sectors who do not vote for him because he pacted this thing on a bathroom, you know, that this is the problem, that they know, everybody knows this story. So they called Boric amarillo, the yellowish, because, you know, they're subservient to power that changes, you know, from one where the heat is, basically, he goes. This is part of this, his reputation among the popular sectors and the left. So basically, the only way to get those votes was through fear. So in the informal arena, he was like the leader of the anti-fascist coalition.
Yeah. Ah, got it. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. And then make your last point, because I have a couple more questions before we wrap up.
The problem is that it always was in attention because basically he invited the former parties of the Concertación, so the Christian Democrats, that you remember that they supported the coup in 1973, and then have, you know, privatized half of Chile, yeah? The Socialist Party, all these, the parties that governed basically neoliberalism for 30 years, he invited them to this new coalition against, you know, to save democracy. So we have this weird thing of a kind of a neoliberal anti-fascist coalition that is not really there. And therefore he won. So you asked me the first question, what happened that, you know, December 19th? I think fear of fascism won that election.
Wow. And not necessarily, it's fear of fascism, not necessarily like the left is back in Chile and, you know, Allende and it's back and here we go. Like, that's too simplistic. So that, I guess that's my big question here. It's like, so is it too simplistic to conclude that, well, what do you think the left is in Latin America now? Is it becoming more of like a traditional neoliberal type place where you see these center left candidates? Or is it still like, you know, does it have a future still in sort of its traditional historical roots of what the left has been in Latin America? And how does Chile reflect that? And what do you think in general about just like the left in Latin America right now after this election and even after the one in Honduras?
Yes, no, I think Boric is not left, as we understand the left kind of more in here in Latino Rebels we're talking.
Oh, in Latino Rebels, I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, okay, I got you.
Boric is more like a Democrat. Like a Democrat from the U.S., liberal in a way, that they are for, you know, gay rights and for, you know, giving special, you know, accommodations for women and, you know, creating a better society, yes. But they're not really left in the sense that they are not going to change the modes of accumulation and dispossession, yeah?
They're not gonna. Capitalism is still winning.
Capitalism, yeah. Okay? Because it's not, they don't want that. They want to be government and they're going to govern and they're going to make things better, reformist in a way. So I don't think he's the left. However, there was a recent development in the Constituent Convention, which is very hopeful. Remember that in the convention, there are around 18% or 20% of the convention is independent. All the rest is party driven. So it is kind of like a supermajority of people that are for the reproduction of the system and changes, you know, in the margins in a way. And the independents have been very kind of scrambling, you know, from the first 6 months. They got thrown under the bus. They couldn't put their things in the agenda. However, they learned. And it was so incredible to see because the new president and vice president of the Constituent Convention, there was new elections for these 6 months where the articles will be written. So therefore, now there's more power because there is, you know, the agenda setting and all these things that happen when you are by a president and by president and you can kind of organize the discussion, okay, is that the two people elected were elected because the independents decided to use their power and block candidates from other coalitions that had voted against giving binding power to the people during the constituent process. Only they allowed the people that have voted in favor of an initiative that was launched by one of the independents to give basically this popular initiative power to the people to call a plebiscite or to put things directly into the constitution. And the two people that were elected, they both voted in favor. And this is grand because they are the minority.
So,
there were like 20 people.
There's still, I know what you're saying. So basically it's safe to say this is the rise of the center left in Latin America. Like that's basically what we're seeing more of in terms of people that are reaching presidential power. And if Bolsonaro loses in Brazil later this year, and
yes,
you know, that's probably what's going to happen as well. I mean, the pendulum, as they say in the traditional Latin American sphere, it's not going from one way to another. There's a little bit more of a middle that we're seeing, right? I mean, that's sort of like my last thought.
And also, I think we need to consider Boric's government is going to be a hinge government. It's not going to be a transformational, you know, a kind of a grand government because the right wingers have the half of the Congress. So they
he's got to play with them.
So I don't think. I think they will block everything.
Oh, you see. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Wow.
So basically, even if he wants to be progressive, imagine the right-wing coalition plus the Republican Party and the evangelicals have half of the Senate, and the Senate has the power, basically.
Welcome to the United States. That's basically what Chile is becoming. It feels that way. So
the independents are pushing for giving the people the power to bypass Congress, you know, because when you have a new constitution and the new constitution will be ready to be ratified in September, they say. Okay. So basically the new government will have to implement this new constitution because when you have a constitution, it's not like the constitution changes the world. You need to start dismantling things and building things that will materialize that constitution. And therefore, the government needs to pass lots of laws, you know, at the beginning. And if you don't have the Congress with you, what are you going to do?
We can keep talking, Camila Vergara, but we're just going to bring you on and just, you know, bring you on later in the year to see how Boric is doing. So, Camila Vergara, thank you so much for being on Latino Rebels Radio.
Thank you for having me again, Julio.
I just want to thank Camila. What a great conversation. What a great start to the year in terms of Latin American politics, which I am such a geek of, and so is my producer, Oscar Fernandez. And like we always do, we always close out with La Plebe, Menas Abiertas. Julio Ricardo Varela, Latino Rebels Radio, we out of here.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino.
From PRX.